Well, I golfed for 3.5 years.
Nice. How was that?
I loved it. I've never been the best golfer, but I have.
What was your best score?
Make that same confession
today and always. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, number 909, Christ is made the sure foundation, will stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing the Gloria, as we have been throughout this Christmas and Epiphany season. Have a little bit different format for our bulletin. The propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. The readings are on the back. And as you stick the bulletin in your hymnal, what sticks out is a brief outline for the service. We pray that God will richly bless us as we hear His word and receive His gifts tonight. Before we say it, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, his perfect life, obedient death, glorious resurrection for us, for forgiveness, life, and salvation. As you have claimed us to be your own in the waters of holy baptism and filled us with your Holy Spirit, bless us with the courage, the conviction, and the faith to live, to speak, and even to die, making the good confession. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 909.
Thank you. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. Page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son, Jesus, to die for us, for you, and for all your sins, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exalt in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are
in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God,
pray. Heavenly Father, you revealed to the Apostle Peter the blessed truth that your Son Jesus is the Christ. Strengthen us by the proclamation of this truth that we too may joyfully confess that there is salvation in no one else. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The first reading for the festival of the Confession of St. Peter is from Acts chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual appointed for the day. What we proclaim is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We also believe, and so we also speak, as one who speaks oracles of God. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th and 9th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We continue with our hymn of the day, "By All Your Saints in Warfare," hymn 517. We sing verses 1, 10, and 3.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
You may be seated. Tonight's message is based on the Gospel of Mark, especially these verses. "And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they told him, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered him, 'You are the Christ.'" Peter makes a good confession. Peter's simply repeating back what God has revealed to him. And he's not ashamed of it either. He's with Jesus, he's with the other disciples, he's with his Christian family. He confesses directly to Jesus, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the promised one, come to save us all. But hey, it's an easy confession to make when you're around other disciples. We too make a good confession. We repeat back to God what He has revealed to us in His Word. And we're not ashamed of it. We are right now in the company of Jesus and other disciples. We confess that we believe in Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, our Lord. Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one. Come to save us all. We confess that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But hey, it's an easy confession to make around other disciples. Once we step out those doors, do we do the same? Peter didn't. When we're not in the company of other Christian disciples, our families, are we still not ashamed of Jesus? Peter was ashamed. Does our good confession go bad like Peter? Peter makes a bad confession. Peter outright lies. Jesus, after his arrest, goes to the council for his hearing. Peter followed him at a safe distance. He even heard the high priest ask Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" And Jesus said, "I am." And there stands Peter, who just told Jesus the night before, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." A servant girl comes along and identifies Peter as one of those disciples of Jesus. Peter replies three times, "I do not know what you mean. I am not one of them, and I do not even know this man of whom you speak." We too make bad confessions outside these doors. After all, to make the good confession is not just simply Jesus is the Christ, not just simply He has died and risen for me for the forgiveness of all my sins. It's all of His Word. To confess Christ is to confess the entire Word made flesh. A discussion comes up outside of here with extended family, people at work, friends at school. You hear comments come up about certain hot topics. What do you say? For example, you may hear that women have the entire right to abort their pregnancy. After all, it could ruin the mother's life. It's her body. What do you say? Another example. It's their choice. It's his choice if he wants to marry him. It's their liberty. If she wants to marry her, it's a free country. To each their own. What do you say? You know what else? You've heard this before. It's completely fine that a couple lives together before marriage. After all, they need to see if they can get along. They need to figure out if they're going to get along well before they make that big, huge commitment And you know what? They can't afford to live apart anyway. Not until marriage. What do you say? And what if you're asked directly? What do you think? You go to church, right? What does your church say about abortion? What does your Bible say about gay marriage? What does God say about living together before marriage? Is it sin? What do you say? Better yet, what do you confess? More than likely, well, I wouldn't do that myself, but I don't want to force my beliefs on anyone else. You don't want to take a stand. You act indifferent, as if you're undecided. You defend yourself. I don't want to talk about religion or politics. I don't want to argue. You even say, it's a free country. You're entitled to your opinion. Or you may simply change the subject, like a politician does. You're torn inside. You're a Christian, after all, and you think to yourself, I am a Christian, but I don't know the Bible that well to speak on this topic, so I'll change the subject, or better yet, I'll just keep my mouth shut. Even when you say nothing in response, you have made a bad confession. You have not stood up for the one who has stood up for you. You don't want to lose friends, so you forfeit your soul. Deep inside your sinful heart, the last thing you want to do is bring up the J word in public, at work, at school. You're ashamed of Jesus. You think that being a public Christian brings you shame. You, like Peter, have denied Christ. Satan has actually fooled you on putting your mind on the things of man rather than on the things of God. To this, Jesus rebukes you. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed. So which words of Christ, then, which words should we not be ashamed of confessing? All of them. Consider these words of Christ, following Peter's good confession. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus foretells his own death and resurrection 3 times in the Gospel of Mark. Every single time, Peter was there. Yet, he denies even knowing him in public. A little bit later, following the Pentecost, after the death and resurrection of Christ, Peter's preaching to crowds in Jerusalem. Crowds! From our first reading today, we hear Peter say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Peter makes a good confession. How did Peter get from point A to point B? How did Peter go from even denying knowing Jesus to confessing his resurrection to public crowds? The answer is in the very resurrection Peter is confessing. Mary Magdalene and the mother of James go to the tomb of Jesus. They find the stone of the tomb rolled away. They go inside. Inside was not Jesus. Inside was a young man in a white robe, an angel, a messenger of God, who relays the word of God to them. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and tell Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. Did you hear that? Tell his disciples and tell Peter. This is mercy from God for Peter. Don't forget to tell Peter. But Peter, you denied Christ. Peter, you have been ashamed of him. And Peter, you are now forgiven. Peter had not even seen the risen Jesus yet. The next time Peter saw Jesus was in a locked room. Following the resurrection, the first words of Jesus out of his mouth to Peter was not, "How could you deny me and leave me alone to die?" The first words out of Jesus' mouth to Peter was, "Peace be with you. Peter, you are forgiven." The mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, is what took Peter from point A to point B. From denying even knowing him to preaching to public crowds the death and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This same mercy from God is yours. This same forgiveness is for you. Those times when you were too ashamed of Jesus, he took on the shame for you on the cross. For all the times that you were afraid of public humiliation, the Son of Man, our Lord, was publicly humiliated, nailed to a cross, naked, for you. For the times that you did not stand up for your Lord, the Lord our Savior Jesus stood up for you and took your judgment for you. And so we do confess the truth that all our sins are forgiven. How then do we go outside these doors and make the good confession? Peter encourages us just how in his epistle tonight. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is this done? Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you reply? How do you confess to these opinions on abortion, gay marriage, living together before marriage? Supplement your faith with these qualities I just read. On your bulletin, the epistle reading, 2 Peter chapter 1, read these qualities. the details of the rest of these qualities, the details that you need of how to confess, are found in the Word of God. You don't know where to find them in the Word? Ask your pastor. We first must be filled with the Word of God for faith and be filled with the knowledge that we need to make a good confession. When we need to answer these opinions, when we need to make the good confession, we don't just say, "You're wrong." We do not answer in a hateful way. Consider those qualities again. We make a good, true confession when we speak from the Word with brotherly affection and love. Practice these qualities. And Peter says, you will never fail. You confess Jesus Christ because you believe the truth of His Word. You confess Jesus Christ because His Word gives you these qualities to do so. You confess Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, because you are not ashamed of Him. You confess that your calling, you confess that your election as God's own child is certain and sure. Because your confession is built upon the cornerstone. Make the good confession with confidence. For you know there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We now confess our faith, making the good confession with the Nicene Creed on page 158. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our divine service continues with the prayers of the church. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before You our common supplications for the well-being of Your church throughout the world. So guide and govern it by Your Holy Spirit, that all who profess themselves Christian may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in the unity of spirit, the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon all the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of Your grace, that they may please You in all things. Behold in mercy all those who are in authority over us. Supply them with Your blessing, that they may be inclined to Your will and walk according to Your commandments. Grant that our country may be united together instead of constantly divided and bickering. We humbly ask Your abiding presence in every situation, that you would make known your ways among us. Preserve those who travel. Satisfy the wants of your creatures. Help those who call upon you in any need, that they may have patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Be especially with those in our own midst who are suffering, sick, or struggling. All these things we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the God who has made the good confession for us would fill us with his forgiveness, life, and salvation, that our lives may be a good confession as well. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Please stand for the offertory.
Lift up your hearts.
We
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the Lord's Day. Now depart in God's peace and your joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand for our post-communion canticle. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 596. You may be seated. We'll sing verses 1 and 6.
And welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. You have a special insert in your bulletin for tonight with regard to a worship service before the Walk of Life. This worship service will be at Trinity Lutheran Church downtown, free parking, and the details about the Walk of Life are in your news and notes, more details there. Have a great speaker, and if you're able to go or interested, it would be a great opportunity to make the good confession. Might be a little cold and might be even be a little snowy, but still a great opportunity. We have two other big events that are coming Sunday after church, after the 10:30 service. We have the big soup dinner here, the soup cook-off. 9 or 10 different soups will be there. You're all invited. Join us. Eat. Vote. Have some good Christian fellowship. And we have the first Tuesday in February, the fundraiser for Pediatric Cancer Action Network, PCAN, Pancakes for PCAN. Great, great group to support. So plan on coming and eating. If you can help out, serving, cleaning up, setting up, that'd be a great thing to sign up sheet out there. Bible study in the fellowship hall right after service. Pastor, anything else? Good job, Vicar. Have a great day and week in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the live broadcast of the Wednesday evening worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, with Pastor Clint Poppy and Pastor Adam Olean. Join us also on Sunday mornings at 8 or 10:30 a.m. for worship. Good Shepherd is located at 3825 Wildbriar Lane, just one block north of Old Cheney on 40th Street. If you have questions or would like to talk to Pastor Poppy or Pastor Moline, please call at 402-423-7639.